This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So after a positive Blues performance last night, it was a 3-2 defeat against Leicester, but gave them a really good game. And Saturday, we've got a game against Plymouth at Home Park. And today here, I'm joined by Aaron from Green and White Podcast. How are you doing, Aaron?
Yeah, we were just chatting off air, so to speak. It's been a bit of a frantic day. I'm sure we'll get into it. Nothing officially confirmed at the time of recording, but I've had better days as a football fan. I'll put it that way.
It has been a hectic day for you guys, isn't it? Because obviously Stephen Schumacher being linked with a move to Stoke City, and then everything's just all up in the air. I mean, has there been any sort of news progression today, or like has it kind of been all up?
Yeah, it's basically confirmed. We're waiting for the official confirmation from both clubs, but all the in the knows on Twitter have come out in full force with the eyes emoji blaring all over my timeline. So it's all it's all pretty much done and dusted, to be honest. It looks like he's taken a couple of his backroom staff as well, but look, obviously once it's all confirmed and official, we'll know. But it all came around a bit mad, really. There was a guy called Tim on Twitter on Saturday just posted that he'd been watching the Stoke owner's helicopter from tracking website, and the fact they'd been down to Plymouth and back. So yeah, it started there, and we didn't believe it, but it looks like it's true.
It's funny, isn't it, how you try to sort of keep up to date with all the rumour mill stuff. I remember it a couple of months ago when John Eustace left and Wayne Rooney come in, where it's just all of these stuff that just comes from nowhere, like different sides of social media, and just trying to keep up to date with it. So in terms of
a lot of that is also like knowing who to trust and who's saying what and who's just like trying to get bites as well. Like it feels impossible to keep up to date and keep your fingers across it all. Obviously, like different group chats are going off as well, so it's all like it's been a stressful day.
It sounds like it. And I mean, in terms of sort of Stephen Schumacher's time at Plymouth, he joined as part of Ryan Lowe's coaching staff, I believe, when you guys were in League Two. And obviously Championship now. So it's been one hell of a journey. How would you sort of summarise it?
Yeah, it's mad. On Schumacher himself, it feels like we're in a position now where he can go to Stoke and good luck to him. I don't wish Stoke any luck, but I wish him an all right career, I suppose. But as for like the club, it hasn't been built by one person. Obviously, you know, Schumacher was successor to Lowe. Lowe got us out of League Two. Schumacher got us out of League One. And now it feels like it's going to be somebody else's job to keep us in the league. And then we've got a new 5-year plan in which the club seem to think we can become a club competing at the right end of the table through our own self-sustained means. So it looks like that's going to be somebody else's job now. So like nothing's been built on one person. When Ryan Lowe left, Schumacher stepped into the fold. I think everybody bought into him. Like he says the right things. He does the right things. We genuinely felt like, we're not stupid enough to know that loyalty doesn't exist. in football, because let's be honest, it doesn't, right? Like nobody really, like, you offer anybody a bigger wage, they off they go. We're not stupid enough to know that, but it felt like he genuinely was with us for the long haul and really wanted to see out the if not the 5-year plan, at least see out this season. It was only 12 days ago that he came out and said, look, I'm committed to the club. I enjoy my time here and I'm in no rush to leave. And now he's gone off to Stoke. Oh, sorry, I've completely gone off topic for the question. But
no, honestly, it's fine. There's so much on your mind, you just got to get it out.
In terms of a whirlwind, it's been mad. It's been absolutely mad from the pits of League Two. Obviously, when Lowe came in, we weren't in the pits, but we were on our way back then. I'm sure Birmingham fans will remember us in the Championship. You sort of went a different way to us in that time. Went off and won some Tim Pot League Cup or something, I think. So it's been a roller coaster. It's been absolutely mad. It's been like the best few years following this club. And last year, we'll always have the memory of last year, you know, pipping Ipswich Town to a league title, which looks like Leicester might do themselves this year. And obviously Sheffield Wednesday to League One on a budget that was something like the seventh lowest in League One, and now we've got arguably the lowest budget in the Championship, and we're looking like we might survive. Phenomenal. Did that answer your question?
I'll tell you what, it's tipped me on a roller coaster itself. So
nice. Okay, yeah, it's been mad. It's been mad.
I mean, about sort of the transfers and the fact that Plymouth at the time sort of had the seventh lowest budget in League One, going up as champions. I mean, you say like pipping it's just a title, you've got 101 points.
Yeah.
So like that's an absolutely phenomenal feat.
And then
going into the Championship season, the players that you did sign, sort of signing Morgan Whittaker and Ballymumbra on like permanent deals as well, you know, that's real steps in the right direction for the club. And in terms of sort of building on that, I suppose Plymouth fans would have been going into the season thinking maybe, okay, if we can stay up and just sort of stabilise in the Championship, that'd be a good season. But I mean, you see what Ipswich are doing, like second in the league. It just goes to show how crazy the Championship is, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the two promoted teams or automatically promoted teams last year, us and Ipswich, are the two highest scorers in the Championship at the moment. I could be wrong.
Wow.
That sounds right.
That's some statistic.
It's absolutely mad. Obviously, our form away from home has been terrible, to put it politely. But no, we're doing all right. I think that the aim for us this season was to get up and stay up. I said literally one goal difference above that dotted line, and I'm happy. I'm still very happy. Obviously, 16th is cushy, and obviously our home form is what sees us through. And obviously we have you up next at home. I'm sure we'll get onto that. But it's been phenomenal. It's been brilliant. I think no one expected Ipswich to do what they're doing, especially us. After, like you said, we beat them to the title last season. And to be honest, they were phenomenal. They were a phenomenal side last season. So it just goes to show just how good we were, such are. The aforementioned, you mentioned Morgan Whittaker and Ballymumba. There's talk that today that we've agreed a deal for Finnis House in January. I don't know if the Schumacher fee from Stoke has gone towards that. It may have. And if that's happened, then that is phenomenal. Our recruitment recently has been incredible, to say the least. Like, we've just robbed other Championship teams. Like, Ballymumba not so much as Morgan Whittaker, but the fact that Swansea let him go for £1 million is just an absolute madness. Like, you're talking comparatively one of the best players in this league for £1 million, and that's mad.
It's crazy, isn't it? And I mean, Whittaker already, you know, paying back that money with the 96-minute winner against Rotherham last time out. And I mean, in terms of sort of games that define a season, obviously with Rotherham kind of down there in the mix as well, and like, you know, getting that win in that fashion as well, what would that do to sort of galvanise the players? Because we saw all the videos of the Christmas party that they had, where they're all in fancy dress and that must have been a morale boost.
Yeah, I think people don't realise, especially yourselves, being in the middle of the country, I don't think people realise just how isolated we are. We are out on a limb, like And going back to Schumacher, he's like the first manager in years since like Ian Holloway to bring and move his family down here, which means a lot to us in terms of like investing in the club and investing in the local area and not pissing off back to Sheffield or whatever on the weekend, like after the game. And the fact that it is such a tight-knit group, like the players can't go out and go to different cities and stuff. I'm sure like, you know, players that play for Birmingham most probably live all over the place, right? Whereas, and socialise with lots of different people and they can go home quite easily, whereas you can't do that down here. So players tend to stick together a lot more. There always seems to be more camaraderie, if that's the word, with our squads, and that seems to be the case. Obviously, you mentioned the Christmas party. I believe they went to Ali Pali afterwards. Phenomenal scenes in the fact that one of our biggest centre backs is dressed up in tights and a blonde wig. It's just phenomenal. It's brilliant. I tweeted as well myself that one day that your New Zealand wonder kid is dressed as Cal the Dragon, and the next you're losing your manager to Stoke, and life comes at you fast in the Championship, and that seems to be the case. But as for the squad, every single one of them, even by the couple that I do not think are Championship level and I want them to leave, I just love them. I love them to pieces. They're just I've never been so in love with my football club, and you know, that's what it's all about, right? It's feeling like you have something that means a lot to you and that you can relate with, and that they feel like a part of us, which is brilliant. And I don't think I've ever felt like that about this Argyle side. Like, there's players there that I'll defend to the hilt, even though I know they're shit. Being honest, like, just there's love 99% of them.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant to hear that, isn't it? Just all players that are fighting for the badge kind of thing. And I mean,
like fighting for the badge. Obviously, last time out, 96th minute winner against Rotherham at home. The game before that was a 96th minute winner against Stoke at home. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Stoke might have won in the long run, bastards. But sorry if I can't swear. Cut that out.
No worries.
Our home form at Home Park is just phenomenal. Like, it's literally never say die. Like, even if you are 1-0 up, if there are 5 minutes to go, we will get a chance, and it's likely we'll take it. So,
And that's what I was going to lead on to, like the home form at Home Park. I mean, it's just fantastic, isn't it? In terms of the whole year itself, like 2023, you've only really lost like a handful of times. So it's like just a fantastic achievement. And I think that is something that epitomises the spirit of the club at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Well, since Schumacher came in December 2021, we've only lost 7 times at home.
Wow.
Two of those came against Lincoln. Don't know how.
Lincoln. Yeah. Bogey team.
Yeah, like, they did a job on us. One of those losses was an absolute head loss against MK Dons, a 5-0. Or was it 5-1? I don't know. I've erased that game from my memory, which knocked us out of the playoffs on the final day of the 22-23 season, which I'm kind of glad it did, because we wouldn't have won the league the next year. But yeah, to only lose 7 times in what is just over 2 years is phenomenal. I mean, away from home, we won't talk about that. Terrible. But like, it's one of those stereotypical tough places to go. Like, and a lot of clubs haven't been down there for a while, so they rock up in numbers and they're like, you know, and we somehow managed to get one over them at Home Park, and it's absolutely phenomenal. When we come to your place, as you know quite well, this season, you will beat us. But I just have a feeling we might pip you at home.
And I mean, the reverse fixture early on this season, you know, it was a very different landscape, I think, for both teams. Obviously, with Schumacher in charge of Plymouth, we don't know if that's going to be the case on Saturday.
Yeah. John Newton in charge of Birmingham.
So, yeah, I mean, I imagine there'll be different managers in both dugouts. And on that day, it was a 2-1 victory for Blues. Jay Stansfield nicking it at the end. What were your thoughts on that game as a whole?
Oh, my days. Yeah. It just had to be, didn't it? It had to be Jay. Obviously, I'm sure your listeners will be aware, Exeter lad. Exeter are local, in abbreviated commas, they're still an hour away, rivals, you know, although his dad was born in Plymouth, so he's got Plymouth blood. He's never actually scored at Hope Park. I'm fully expecting that to happen on Saturday, to be honest. But phenomenal talent, you know, can't get away from that. But yeah, that game itself, I just remember feeling a little bit robbed, to be honest. But one thing it did teach me is that Birmingham's fans, and maybe it's a Birmingham thing, I don't want to give Villa too much credit on here. Maybe it's just a Birmingham thing where you lot all seem very very humble and very honest. I think a lot of your fans were gave us an awful lot of credit that day and agreed that the smash and grab wasn't really that fair. I think a point would have been, but maybe I'm rewriting history in my head. But yeah, we're just terrible on the road, and that was one of our better chances to actually pick up a win.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I didn't say. Maybe I'm just more annoyed about that.
Yeah, because I remember that game. Like, Plymouth had a lot of possession in the game. Yeah. I think that's one thing that now Rooney's trying to change about us, in the fact that we want to try and get at teams a bit more and have a bit more possession. So that may be something that's a little bit different for the game on Saturday. So in terms of sort of like, it's hard to ask questions on Plymouth based on your style of play, because it could be completely different on Saturday.
I can't imagine it will be. It looks likely that Kevin Nanskeville will take charge. He's slotted into that caretaker role before when we beat Scunthorpe. Did we beat them? Yeah. Sorry, I don't remember our...
You just say you did.
Caretaker managers, managerial records. But yeah, like, I can't see anyone being stupid enough to rip up the way we play, because we'll let you have the ball if that's what you want. That's fine. We are direct, but we're not direct in the like... Sam Allardyce role of hoofball. We're direct, we're fast, we're very quick on the counter. So if you want the ball, fine, but just don't give it up in stupid areas would be my suggestion. We've played an awful lot of different styles, as you know, across the championship. It is becoming more of a possession heavy league. There's a lot of young managers, a lot of left field appointments in the league at the moment that want to keep the ball and they want possession. And it feels like we are, I don't want to say the antithesis, but we're just happy to sort of give possession to you if it means that we can make fast runs in behind when you inevitably mess up. Obviously, we'd like to be higher than 16th, and it's worked against some teams and it hasn't against others. But, you know, we've played the whole top 10 now, and we've only been embarrassed in one of those games, and that came away at Leicester, who, as you know, aren't exactly easy to beat. But
not at all.
In terms of style, I can't see us ripping that up. I can imagine we're going to be very similar to how we normally play. I can imagine the team talk is literally going to be like, you know what to do, just do it again. And I don't want to say anything that I might regret, but I feel like a trip from Wayne Rooney's Birmingham might be the almost the perfect opponents that we could play next. Obviously, we play Rotherham on Saturday. They are very one of the roughest teams I've seen us play in quite some time, and I appreciate that might be their style and that's what's worked for them in the past. I just didn't have Richardson down as a that sort of manager, but you know, if that's what keeps them up, they have crocked our two main strikers, so we will be starting the young New Zealand international, who, as before mentioned, was Cal the Dragon at the darts night. He will be starting up top. Not the best, I won't lie. He's a good prospect for the future, and I do really hope that he gets a loan in January. But we've got two strikers out now, so I can't imagine he's going anywhere unless we replace them. So yeah, so it is kind of hard to speculate on Saturday, but I feel like it could be a very good opponent for us to face when our back's against the wall. And Plymouth are very good as a city at holding a grudge. So we will want to show Stephen Schumacher that that there was no reason to leave. Yeah.
And you speak about sort of like, you know, the styles of play, and like, I suppose, obviously, the rumour goes around about what manager could replace Stephen Schumacher. There's a lot of ex-Birmingham managers actually being linked with the Plymouth.
Yeah.
You've got Gary Rowett linked, John Eustace linked, and even Steve Kotcher, which I saw was, 5 or 6 to 1. So, yeah, honestly, we have the same reaction when we hear that name as well. Don't worry.
Yeah, so I can't see it in Steve Kotcher. Who are we thinking? So, Sir Neil Warnock lives just the other side of the bridge down in Cornwall. So, personally, I would throw everything at him. He comes and watches us most Saturdays when he's not busy. I would throw everything at him. You know, not far for him to go. Is it Sandra or Sharon? Which one's his wife? I get those two mixed up. Him and
I think it's Sharon because Sandra's Harry Redknapp, isn't it?
Okay. So let Sharon, you know, one more gig. Even if he can take it after Christmas if he wants. He can take it on Boxing Day. Sure, you know. Not a problem. He would solidify us, would sort out some of our defensive issues, would more than likely keep us up in the league. I also think he's a pragmatist. I think he wouldn't nullify our attacking threat. I think he would be a very, very, very wise move, and also his contact book come January would be phenomenal. We would sign somebody we would never in a million years expect to get, I think. Yeah, and then the list below that doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence. I think John Eustace would be a good pickup. I think if we could get him in before Saturday, that'd be even better. Point to prove, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. More to your board than to yourselves and to the club, I'm sure. But it feels like we might be jumping on a podcast of our own and us asking you about a certain ex-Birmingham manager. Yeah, if it's Steve Cottrell, then I'm not. I don't want to say anything that I might regret. The bookie's favourite at the moment is Leighton Baines.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because he manages Everton's youth side, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah, Everton's under-18s. I think, personally, my mum's Scouse, so I can say this. I've had enough of Scousers that come and use his zone.
Lowe, Schumacher, now Baines.
Exactly. I'm okay, thank you. But, I mean, if he comes and does a brilliant job, I'm not going to complain. But, and I don't want to tarnish everyone with the same brush, but I just really don't want that. I just don't want... I don't want to fall in love with another manager for them to piss off and leave us at the first opportunity. And realistically, Schumacher's been linked with the Swansea job, with the Huddersfield job when we were back in League One, the Sunderland job recently, the West Brom job. For him to take the Stoke job for me is lunacy, but I understand that they have a lot of money. But that also tells me that that is the first real job offer that he's had, and he's jumped at it, which is disappointing if true.
Yeah, because it's one of the things where obviously like Stoke this season haven't been fantastic, and I think in terms of like where their league stand is compared to like Plymouth standing, not too far at all, is it? And I just think like obviously on the outside it looks like a bit of a sideward move kind of thing. I mean, if anything, Plymouth's better project because of the fact that he took you sort of from the lower leagues that are up to the Championship, and I feel like these teams got a lot more to give. So in terms of, no, think, of like the landscape of things, is it just a money move kind of thing where like you're getting more at Stoke?
That as well. Let's not be too bitter about it. Like, he will be earning quadruple what he is at us. And for that, I can understand, right? You know, if I was offered, or maybe I'm a bad, example because I have turned down stuff. But if I was offered four times the money, but I had to live in Staffordshire in a nice little village, or in Cheshire just outside, in a quaint little village on like five times the money I currently earn, I'm most probably not going to say no, let's be honest, right? And football's fickle, and you know, he might genuinely believe that he is the man to turn around Stoke, and Stoke have deeper pockets than we do. But unless he's going with some of the backroom staff, which is, it's rumoured that he's taking one or two of them, but unless he's going with the majority of them, if he's going without Jimmy Dickinson, our brilliant head of recruitment, if he's not taking Neil Dushnip, our director of football, then I just don't really see him as being the man to turn Stoke around, because the people they have in power at the moment are the reason they are where they are. They've had this has become a very anti-Stoke pod.
just hating on Stoke.
Yeah,
we got them after Plymouth, so I was thinking at one point that Schumacher was going to be manager of Plymouth when he played you guys. Then Stoke played them.
Yeah, exactly. At one point. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, give him hell from me, but no, I just do not see him as being the man to turn it around without a key number of staff. If I'm being brutally honest, don't get me wrong, he is a fantastic manager. Love him to bits. Give us some brilliant memories. But it's that point where I just don't really want to wish people well after they've like fucked you over. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I can appreciate everything you've done, and yes, you've got legend status, and yes, you've taken us up from League Two alongside Lowe. You won us the League One title in phenomenal fashion, and yes, you were brilliant. But it's the whole, Ian Holloway did the same to us, where they come out and they say, you know, Ian Holloway was talking about bleeding green and like painting Smeaton's Tower the lighthouse green and white instead of red. And it's just like, oh, just don't say those things if you don't mean them. It's just that's the bit that hurts. That's the bit that hurts. Like, you know they're going to go for money, that's fine, but just don't say what you don't mean.
Mm. I've seen a lot of that stuff at Birmingham, but actually with us, it's been where the owners have kind of shot themselves in the foot by letting go of these managers, not them jumping ship to other clubs. So I can understand what you're saying, but for different reasons, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, nothing's officially confirmed yet, so but I'm sure when you put this out, it might have. But we're all just refreshing Twitter, waiting for the official. I've turned on the notifications for Stoke's account as well. It's got that bad.
God, that's when you know it's bad.
Yeah, not ideal. But,
no, and I mean, I suppose you're a busy man today. You've got to be here, there, and everywhere. So we'll just sort of ask you a couple more questions. Looking forward to Saturday. What do you think the score's going to be? I mean, probably the last thing on your mind at the moment, but.
It's going to be honest. It's going to be some sort of gut-wrenching 1-0 Birmingham 89th minute winner.
Jay Stansfield winner.
Yeah, it was probably. And like, stick the knife in and I can see it. I'm normally like, especially on our pod, I'm the most positive one. Like, they're all like, we're going to go to Leicester and get battered. I'm like, 2-0 win. I'm like, every time, like, you just have to back yourselves. And I do back ourselves. Under Schumacher, but it's either going to go one or the other way. It's either going to really galvanise the whole squad, and they're going to say, "Oh, fuck off," and like it did last time under Lowe. Let's be honest. That first away game up at MK Dons after Lowe went, it just felt different. Like, the squad felt like they really wanted to win it, and they wanted to like stick two fingers up at Lowe. I can't really see that being the case here, but. Yeah, it's either going to go really well or really badly. So either it all depends on how it galvanises us. It looks like Kevin Danskerville is going to be in charge on Saturday. I think we'll play exactly the same way, but it's whether he can do those in-game changes and that game management that Schumacher does so well. So like I said, 1-0 Birmingham, 89th minute.
I'll tell you what, I could get behind a 1-0 Birmingham. But after hearing you speak in that, I mean, besides from Saturday, obviously, I wish you guys all the best of luck in the season. You know, I really hope you do stay up and kind of, in your words, stick it to the people who leave you. So, good luck to Plymouth for the rest of the season. If you want to shout out sort of where we can find Jaron, like sort of what work you're doing at the moment, I imagine you're busy today. So, yeah, shout out. Sort of
mad busy today. We've been on BBC Radio Stoke, been on BBC Radio Devon, we've been on the Spotlight, the local news in Plymouth and the West Country. I believe we're going on TalkSport later, but they haven't confirmed because the club haven't confirmed whether Schumacher's left or anything yet. So, busy day. We've also got our own emergency pod. So, if you want to come and listen to me ramble more about Stephen Schumacher, then we're going live from 5:30, I believe. But apart from that, we'll put out a post Birmingham. We normally do a preview pod, which we would have got yourself on, but not to be this week. Other news has dictated that. We'll put out a Monday morning. There'll be a post Birmingham review, and normally we're pretty we get plaudits from other fans for being fairly fair. So we're not as green tinted and partisan as some are. So it might be a good, depends on what happens, might be a good listen for Birmingham fans as well. You can just find us by searching Argyle Life 1886 on social media, and then it's the Green and White Podcast on all your major podcast platforms. That don't ask me why they're different names, because I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's fantastic to hear, Aaron. I'll be listening later to what you guys have to say about the imminent appointment by the looks of it, but be sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, and check out the rest of the videos on our channel. And most importantly, keep right on. Thank you so much, Aaron.
Cheers, mate.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go, your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.